was powerful. Thank you very much. All right, my friends, we are opening up a new series after Easter called Change Your World. And I'm extremely excited about this series. We're going to be looking at the fruit of the Spirit. So we're going to be in Galatians chapter 5. So if you'd like to follow along, or you have your Bibles, or you find a pew Bible in front of you, we will throw it up on the screen so that you believe me when I say the words that it says. But you're welcome to follow along too if you'd like to now, or to find a devotion that goes with it, or whatever it would be. But we're going to be taking a look at the fruit of the Spirit as we go throughout the next few weeks. And my thesis going into this is that how we use and how that fruit manifests in our life can actually change the world. And I mean ours, and I mean everybody else's. And so that's where we're kind of jumping off from today, and we're going to begin to get into that. I like to start off with a confession. I wish the Methodist Church did confessions. I don't want to listen to all your confessions, but we could have somebody else come in and do that. And then I could go too, and that would be good, and you wouldn't have to hear it. So, I'm just going to speak frankly, because the kids are outside of the sanctuary. I hate Heritage Sports Complex. North of town, it's not like it's designed poorly if you designed it. I don't know what it is, right? And it's really just the getting to it and the getting out of it. It's not the actual place, all right? But so we were getting ready. We're getting there. We had to go during the week. I had to go out there this coming like Thursday night for a night game that was rescheduled from a daytime game on the weekend that got rained out. And to get from Sango to Heritage Sports Complex took me an hour and 45 minutes. Now, the traffic between here and there is not Heritage Sports Complex fault, but I'm going to direct my anger somewhere, and it's Heritage, right? And then we get out there, and then my kids have moved from the little field on the end closest to the high school where there's a separate parking lot and an easy entrance to now their games are right in the middle, if you're familiar, and you got to go into the lot that only has one entrance and the lot where everybody who doesn't know how to drive parks. They're all there in that lot with me, right? And so I'm guilty. And so we're all in there together, and you can never find a spot. And if you park a minivan on the grass, they're going to talk about the preacher. It's just the things you can't do it, right? And so I'm getting there, and we rush out, and it's always a rush. I don't know if you've ever seen people walking out, but like nobody can arrive there on time. Even the coach is doing like the trying to get to the field. He tells us to be there 30 minutes early, but he doesn't make it till the last 5 minutes, right? And so, but then we're leaving. And here's the whole point of the story. We're leaving. Now, everybody else who's there has had somewhat of the same morning that I have getting to that place, chasing around multiple children, different fields, all this stuff. And now, all we want to do is go home. That's all I want to do, right? But there's only one exit. And we had the last games of the day. And so there's 763,000 people trying to leave Heritage Park. So it's just backed up. There's just everybody's, and nobody's letting anybody out, because you know how it is. Like, if you had to wait a minute, you'll let somebody in front of you. But after like 5 minutes, how many people do you let out in front of you? Yeah, exactly none. I know you. Some of you were there. I saw you, right? And so I'm sitting in my parking spot, and I'm in the minivan because I got all the kids with me. So I'm in the minivan, and I'm getting ready, and I want to back out, but there's a line of traffic, so I can't back out. But I actually get lucky, because the person, like, one in front of me and over, those two people actually get out on their row. And so I start, so I back up. So I'm backing up, and I'm going to go out this direction because their line's shorter. Now, I'm just going to, spoiler alert, that didn't work out that way, but it seemed right at the time. So, but I go to back up, and I see this couple behind me, and they look like they're probably grandparent age, and they're in a nice car, and they're right behind me. And so I start to back up, and you know, the vans, we have little cameras, and so I see right where their car is, and I start to back up, and then this thing happens that I hate. She honked at me. And I just got to be honest with you. It wasn't, I don't know. This whole sermon was built on that premise, Delilah. I was hoping you'd be here today. So I just got to be honest with you. Y'all all probably honk at me every time you see me now, and it's going to make me mad at you on the inside, and I'll smile on the outside. But it sends the fight or flight response, right? When somebody honks, it sends the adrenaline rush. Do you know what I mean? And I just have to confess my sins. And it's some of my family have the same thing. We have a fight or flight response. right? Not a fight or flight. Like, in no way am I special forces. I don't know what I'm going to do when I get to you, but I'm coming, right? Like, it's a fight or fight response. And so I'm sitting there and I'm going, I can be the bigger person or I can indulge this adrenaline rush. So what do you think I did? That's right. I rolled the window down. I rolled the window down and I looked at her and I asked her to roll her window down. And I wasn't going to say, hey, hold on. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Judge, lest not ye be judged. All right? And I just wanted to tell her that I was, in fact, going forward, and I needed to back up a few more inches. So, but I saw them, and according to my thing, I had a few feet. Everything was going to be okay, right? And so she was in the passenger side, so I asked her to roll down her window or whatever. And bless her little heart, you could tell she must have had arthritis pretty bad, but because she was trying to give me the peace sign, but she could only manage half of it, right? And I think there might have been some heart issues because, like, her face was red and you could see, like, veins, right? And I just looked at her and I just waved and said, thank you. And then I kept going. And then they ended up, like, being right in front of me. And when they started to go past me, I just lurched a little and then laughed to myself as a terrible person. But they didn't honk again. And then I ended up in front of them at the light, and I felt so good about myself. I don't know why. I didn't, like, try to end up in front of them. They just made a bad decision at some point, and we ended up going out in front of them. Now, I wish I had handled that a little bit differently, so I thought I would come and confess to you, right? And I don't know if she woke up this morning, Delilah, thinking she would have handled that any differently. I'm just teasing. It wasn't Delilah. But my point here is, we all want the world to be a little bit different. And I think if we were being honest, we want the world inside to be a little bit different, whether that's physical health, whether that's mental health, whether we also want the world outside to be a little bit different. We want, if everybody would just do what I think they should do, the world would be great, right? I know you've thought that before. You probably posted that meme on Facebook. Like, that's a thing we believe. If people would just be like me, the rest of the world would be just fine. If they just thought like me, acted like me, voted like me, did like me, whatever it is, I'm sure we'd all get along and everything would be perfect and there'd be no problems, right? We all want the world to be different. So how are we going to change it? And we begin to think about changing the world from the outside in a huge way. I mean, that just seems too grand, too big, too impossible. But we've seen it happen. We've seen it happen where small things change the world. We've seen it happen where individuals can make a huge difference. You can think about the people in your life and think about the people in your life right now, just to yourself. Who are the people that have changed your life in a positive way? Sometimes it doesn't take but a single act or moment to change our lives in a negative way too. But let's think about the positive ways. Think about the people in your life that have changed your life, that have made it better. And maybe you know the way that you've changed someone else's life or you've made it better for them. We are called to be world changers. I think the question for us is, how are we going to go about doing that? What does that look like? Is it some grand mission? Is it some piece of legislation? Is it some movement? Was it some amount of money? Is it a discovery? Is it a cure? What is it? How are we going to change the world? And I don't know on those grand scales. I don't know. Maybe you will. Maybe you will. But I can honestly say and strongly believe, and we can back up here today as people of faith, that we can change the world for us, for our family units, and for everyone that we come into contact with God through us, through the power of the Holy Spirit. We're going to be talking about through the gifts of the Spirit here this morning. Now, I'm going to share these with you, and then we're going to talk a little bit more about what this looks like. So we're going to start in Galatians 5, and I'm actually going to jump to verse 22. So we're going to skip from 13 to 15. Thank you, Kara, in the back. And we're going to go to verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against things like this. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the self with its passions and desires. I'm going to go back to verse 22 again. Does it put in the tail part of 23? It's got gentleness and self-control. Yeah. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, raise your hand if you got all those mastered, right? Okay, good. We all get to go home liking each other. Because if you raise your hand, it was going to be hard to like you because we're all still working on those, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Imagine those things coming to life in your life. I hope that you've experienced love and how life-changing that can be in your life. I hope that you've experienced joy. A lot of times we take that word joy and I feel like we kind of make it cheap with a version that means like pleasurable, right? Like it's something that's a fleeting moment instead of this larger, grander understanding of a life that involves joy. It doesn't mean you're happy and pleased all the time, but it's a life where we get to experience this thing called joy. The moments where you have experienced peace. And to me, peace is always the sweetest when it comes on the end of chaos and turmoil. And I always have to remind myself that in the midst of chaos and turmoil, God is usually doing something amazing, not because God is doing the chaos or the turmoil, but because God is working against that. And just on the other side, if I can just continue going through the chaos and the turmoil and the hurt and the pain, that I can have that peace. We can have the peace that passes all understanding, right? Now, we know what it's like to experience peace. I hope that we do. And this word, patience, man, that's a big word. Not just the number of characters. But it also encompasses this stuff like contentment. This understanding of patience. We're going to dive into each of these a little bit deeper into the weeks as we go. So I'm not going to break them down into details today. Kindness. Goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and one of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control. There is no law against things like this. You know, as a selfish person, I rode out of the parking lot yesterday. Yeah, that was yesterday. Thinking about how she had treated me. Right? It was all about that. She shouldn't have done that. She should have known I wasn't going to back into her. Who would do that? There's no dents in my, well, one of our cars does have a dent in the back end, but whatever. It's only because it takes 6 months to get a body shop. But she shouldn't have behaved like that. She should have believed the best in me. She should have thought the best. She shouldn't have responded like that. I mean, that was my selfish side. But I was thinking about it in the context of getting ready for this series and just reflecting on myself as a human being. And I think the question that Jesus would pose to me is, how should I have treated her? Now, I didn't say anything mean to her or make any gestures that I were aware of were offensive, but I think my face probably looked like I needed her to roll her window down for another reason, right? Even though I wasn't trying to communicate that. How should I have treated her? Going back to Galatians 5, 13 through 15, it says this, "You were called to freedom, brothers and sisters." Now, we would really like it if it just stopped there, right? Because freedom means I'm free to do what I like. I'm free to do whatever I want. I'm free to do what pleases me, what makes me happy. I'm free to do what benefits me, and I'm free to stop you from doing anything I don't like or you shouldn't be doing in my estimation. Only don't let this freedom be an opportunity to indulge your selfish impulses, but serve each other through love. Serve each other through love. All the law has been fulfilled in a single statement: love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour each other, be careful that you don't get eaten up by each other. But if you bite and devour each other, be careful that you don't get eaten up by each other. And I think this one would be Stephen Says, not the Bible Says. But if I were telling my kids, I would say, if you bite and devour each other, you will be eaten up by each other. Because I don't know about you, but sometimes it's hard not to return a slap on the cheek for a slap on the cheek, or an eye for an eye. We usually return a slap and a gouge and a spit for that time we were slapped. And if we lose an eye, we usually take as many limbs as is possible so that we make our point and nobody does it again. Now, we know that in Galatians, this is built off of what we call the golden rule. In Jesus' discussion about the greatest commandment, we see it again in Matthew 7, verse 12. Therefore, you should treat people in the same way that you want people to treat you. This is the law and the prophets. This is everything up to this point summed up, Jesus is saying. You should treat other people in the same way that you want people to treat you. This is the law and the prophets. Now, this idea that we should treat others in the way we want to be treated. Now, this one's explicit, and it says in the way that you want people to treat you. But in our Lord's Prayer every week, have you noticed this statement? We've talked about it before. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. It seems that Jesus taught us to pray in such a way that the way we treat other people is the way God will treat us. And now that gets scary. When I think about, I want to be nice to people so that people are nice to me, well, that just makes sense. Everybody get along, sit down, crisscross applesauce, don't hit your neighbor. Like, that all makes sense. But when I begin to think that my judgment of others affects God's judgment of me, my judging and lack of forgiveness towards others affects God's judgment and lack of forgiveness towards me, now that's in something entirely different. That's something huge. And so when I begin to read and understand and extrapolate and try to go deeper on these gifts of the Spirit, I want to see them in my life. Man, I want love in my life. We all do, right? The cruelest punishment we can think of is solitary confinement, where somebody has no other people for companionship in any type of way. We all want love in our life, whether we're willing to admit it or not. Now, when my wife and I first got married, we had to learn, I had to learn, that sometimes when I said something, it wasn't heard the way I thought I said it. Have y'all ever had that conversation? Yeah, like this morning, most likely, right? We do it over text and email all the time because when we communicate in that kind of medium with other people too, right? But I would be telling my wife I loved her, right? But she wasn't hearing it that way. I mean, I don't know how she couldn't hear it that way. I would see her coming down the stairs and I would go, right? And when I was really feeling it, I'd give her one of these. I'm just teasing. I didn't do that. But I would. I would show my love in ways that I thought she wanted. But then I learned this unbelievable and crazy thing that just seems ridiculous. I needed to love her in the way that she felt loved. Does that make sense? Yeah. And then it turns out, then we had kids. Have y'all heard about that? And then there, did y'all know that they're each different? Like, we had in our mind that we would have kids. It was like this theoretical glob, amorphous mass of child, right? Like, we didn't, you know, we might see something in particular, but it was this thing. But then when you have kids, you got that one. Like, for better or worse, that one's yours. Like, watch out, it bites. That is your kid. You don't have a kid. You got that kid and the way that it works out. And each one of them experiences love differently. The way that my words are phrased matters to them. It doesn't matter what I'm trying to communicate. Are you catching? It doesn't matter what I'm trying to say. How I say it is what they hear. I want to experience love in my life, but I had to change the way that I communicated love so that they would experience love in their life. I want to experience joy in my life. You know what joy in my life is? A nap. Right? where nobody wakes me up to ask me what time I want to get up from my nap. That is joy. So when I tell my kids, hey, you want to be joyful? Go take a nap. No way, man. We want to put up the water slide. That's all I can get. That's all they can get in their mind. We have this thing called the LOL. It's this little climb-up inflatable water slide thing with a splashdown pool little deal that we got during COVID. And man, she's been, our littlest one, Scotty, she's been asking me since Christmas Day. We've had it for 3 years, but she's been asking me since Christmas Day to put up the LOL, and I am sick and tired of having to explain the weather to her, right? But she wants to experience joy, and this is all she wants, right? Peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The way that I treated that lady, even though I didn't like lash out, it just may have appeared like I was going to do that and set myself up in there. But I set it up in such a way that she would experience fear, that she would experience that someone was going to hurt her. She would experience that I was creating a conflict. Right? You see, we want the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, absolutely. But I think as Christians, we're called to something bigger. I think we are called to treat people in this world in such a way that after we interact with them, after they see our life in action, in whatever way that may be, whether we're doing it on purpose or whether they're just observing, that they will experience love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So as we go on through this series for the next several weeks, we're going to be working through and trying to dig down a little bit deeper and understand each one of these principles and gifts of the Spirit and our good side, but yet sometimes our side that focuses more on ourselves is going to ask the question, how do I get some love in my life? How do I get some patience? How do I get some joy? How do I get some peace? We're going to talk about that. Each week, we're going to talk about how do we get that in our lives? How do we begin to let God change our world from the inside out, like we talked about before Easter, right? How do we let God begin to change us? How do we get these gifts of the Spirit in our life? But we're also going to ask, how can we treat others so that they bear that same fruit, right? So when we talk about fruit, we talk about these vines that bore no fruit and we trim them away and we throw them in the fire in Scripture. We talk about being a people who bear fruit, and if we're going to have these gifts of the Spirit, sometimes we selfishly look at it and think, man, I hope that I have all of those things in my life. And I think that God is looking at us going, here are those things, you can have them. Now, give them away. Bear them for others. Treat other people, not just in the way that you hope that they treat you, but treat other people in the way that I would so that they would experience the work of the Spirit in their life. You are the first Bible that most people are going to read. The way that we as Christians love each other, that's how people will know that we are Christians. Right? The fruit of the Spirit, we want it in our own life. And we're going to figure out how do we get that? How do we live that? What does that look like? What is the evidence of that? What do we do with that? So we're going to explore that each Sunday. But then we're going to take the next steps of people of faith. And we're going to ask, how can we treat others so that they bear the same fruit? Imagine just for a second that you experience this list of things in your life. Now, I think that each of us in some ways experience these in our life, more in one particular area than others maybe. And the areas where we don't experience one of those, they can sometimes begin to get all of our focus. If we're not experiencing love, obviously we want to experience love. If we're not experiencing joy, whatever it is, right? Some of them we're not necessarily, we don't really like. I mean, like who likes self-control, right? You want other people to have it, but honestly, I'd probably rather not. I mean, who am I to deny myself? Right? Have you ever thought about that? Don't. How can we treat others so that they bear the same fruit? Imagine that you feel all of these things in your heart, in your mind, in your soul, in your body, in all the ways that are possible. But then I want you to imagine a world where everyone you come into contact with experiences one or more of those when you walk away. Right? What if that was our new standard for human interaction? What if that was our new standard for what it looks like to live in this world? I really do think that, my friends, is how each one of us can participate in changing this world. And maybe you'll go on to do all kinds of other things in different ways that are just extensions and specializations out of this list. But this list, I believe this is the heart of Jesus that we saw, and the way that he treated others, and the way that he called us to as well. So today, as we close in our last song, I want you to think, when you read through this list of the gifts of the Spirit, what are the ones that you crave and want the most? And maybe you flip through Galatians and read a little bit more about it as we build up in the weeks to come. But then I also want you to ask yourself and think, what does it mean to treat others so that they experience love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control? And if we did, imagine what the world could be like. It might look a little bit like heaven. Let us pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you for calling us to something more. Lord, we want you to fill us with your Spirit. We want to experience your gifts in our life. And we want you to help us pour those gifts into others. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.